Here's a Derry caller. Good morning.
Morning, Stephen and listeners. I was a very close friend of Annette McGavigan, who featured in the Spotlight the other night. Annette was just 14 years of age when she was murdered by the British Army on the streets of what people classify as the Bogside. It was on the fringes of the Bogside. She was eating an ice cream. She'd just come from the swimming baths. I could have been with her. There, but for the grace of God, go I. The 6th of September 1971 is etched in my heart and in all of her neighbours and school friends, a day we will never forget. And there's one thing I want to say. Her parents are in their grave. I want to support the McGavigan family, what's left of them, and all of those innocent people and families. Do not put everybody into Republicans versus Loyalists, IRA versus Army. We are talking here about innocence. We're talking here about a girl who was not a Republican. She was nothing of any such thing. She was an innocent child. Cut down at the prime of her youth with so much potential. I loved her dearly as my friend. And I want to say that her murder was the biggest recruitment drive for the IRA. And no one is looking at the bigger picture. How many people felt angry enough to go out and kill other innocent people?
So what should be done about cases like the one you're talking about?
It should be opened up. It should be transparent. They should find out why they said it was a crossfire when those people in the area knew it wasn't.
Should there be prosecutions?
I'm not someone to go down that logistical talk right now.
But with respect, it's not logistical talk, is it? Because it's something for us all as citizens to contribute to the discussion on.
Yes,
so in a case where your best friend
was one of my closest friends, yes.
Was killed, and
yes.
She was 14 years of age.
Yes.
Do you think, if the evidence was there, that there should be a prosecution? Or do you think, in order to get full disclosure around the murder of one of your best friends, you could forgo, the family should forgo justice in order to get the truth?
I do not think that I should give an opinion on that to lead any way. I just believe that they need to know. They need answers. Her mommy Annie, her daddy Willie, they went to their grave thinking there was a crossfire. We all knew there wasn't. I was at home. I could have been with her. I wasn't allowed out.
Okay.
And on that day, we heard shots, and the shots came in a burst of fire from what sounded like one type of gun.
Listen, thank you very much for calling us today. Here we are talking about this in the abstract, you know, and you were at the heart of that story. Steve, morning to you, Steve.
Morning.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm sick, sore and tired of listening to people condemning the military. You know, because they're out in operations, it's like any operation, if you're out there, how do you know who's firing at who?
You're an ex-soldier, aren't you?
Yes.
So, Sinn Féin calling for full disclosure from the British government, what do you think?
Well, I don't, as one of your previous callers says, I don't think it'll happen either way, because you know, it's like all the programmes that have been shown recently. You know, people were very quick to condemn the military 40 years later, you know, but when they thought it was the IRA, not a squeak, but because they think it's the military now, they're all up in arms and they're ready to do this, ready to do the other, looking for prosecutions. But when the other people, the terrorists actually kill people, everybody goes quiet. You know, but because, you see, the difference is they have the freedom. They have the freedom to challenge. But you see, when it comes to terrorists, they don't have that freedom. You know, so that they answer, you're answering their own question. They don't want to question their own people, but they want to condemn the people who have protected them for years. And not only those people, but the media as well, when they're out filming all these things as well. Don't forget they had to do that as well, protect youth when you were out filming around war zones and riots.
Steve, thank you. Here's John Crawford from West Belfast. Good morning, John.
Hi, Stephen. Thanks for having me on, Stephen. The one there about prosecution, and there is some terrible, terrible murders, and what happened in the 70s, I had a 15-year-old brother shot dead. It's 100% the us, what the British soldiers done it. But
where was he, John? What happened?
My brother was cutting through the grounds of a Royal Victoria Hospital, and something happened for him to go to some two women to walk him through the Royal, because he was scared. And as far as I know, these are witnesses, and they were linking him, and Patrick was shot in the chest. 15. For no, God knows what the reason was. We don't want prosecuting Stephen the soldiers. We want to, I would like to know how that soldier felt the next day, because he must have knew he did it. Our Paddy was so completely innocent.
Did he die instantly?
He died, yes. He said a couple of words to the women with him.
What did he say, John?
I think it was tell my father I love him, because my mother had been already shot dead 3 years previous in a crossfire by the IRA.
How old were you at the time?
When my mother died, I was 8, and when my brother died, I was 11.
Because someone said something earlier on there about that I shouldn't forget the anger that is created when, you know, you lose someone. What impact did it have on you? You were 11 years of age. Your brother is shot dead. What did that turn you into, or what did that do to you?
In my family was trans. Well, I say you get over these. My family was trying to get over my mother's death first, and then this happened. And it just changed our whole family.
Did it make you tempted, John, to become a paramilitary?
None whatsoever.
Why?
No, because the way we were brought up.
Okay.
And I can state and say for my brothers and sisters, who were not even, some of us haven't talked about this, I can say possibly we would not want prosecution for the soldier who did this.
You wouldn't want justice?
Well, I'd like to know, yeah, but don't be sad. I wouldn't like him to go to jail. Not at the age, which is 1976, and then God knows what he is just now. So, but he must have knew Stephen the next morning.
And why would it help if he told you how it felt after he knew he killed your brother?
Just to kind of way, Stephen, to get the truth, because he was completely innocent. I think, he had even said this. He was used for a target practice. There was a woman on each side of him. But
that's a shocking thing to say.
So it is, Dean. And we don't know. But I told you, he must have had him in his sights. It was a good bit away from the grabbing the road end of the Royal, and brother was outside the old Royal.
And was there ever any official account from the authorities of what your brother was alleged to have been doing?
No, my brother is completely innocent.
No, I know you say your brother is completely innocent, but did the authorities ever issue any reports,
yes,
any commentary, any explanation?
They got a confession from a fella. Was something wrong with him. He chased my brother through the Royal Victoria Hospital and shot him because he was a member of the official IRA. And that's, God knows where I came from.
So you think that was lies?
Pardon?
You think that was lies?
100% it was lies, because the guy said he shot him with a handgun. My brother was shot with a high velocity bullet from a rifle.
John, thank you. And here's a Belfast caller. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Good morning.
Stephen, I was involved in an incident, without going into details, where I nearly lost my life and two other people. But I don't call myself a victim. I call myself a survivor. I know I'll never get justice for what has happened to me and for what has happened to my mental health and to the effect it's had on my family. But I, like your previous caller that lost his mother and brother, I would like to ask the person who did it to me, why?
You'd like to see them face to face?
Yes, Stephen, I would. I'd like him to meet me and see the sort of person I am.
You see,
I'm a Christian from an ordinary background, just brought up. I don't have any interest in politics or flags.
See, can I be honest? Because I haven't, you know, I'm not old enough, am I? But I haven't lost anyone either. One, I'm not old enough to have been at the very, very heart of the troubles. And secondly, I didn't lose my mum or my dad. No one in my family was killed.
Praise God.
And I'm trying to understand, and I'm finding it difficult to understand. So I'm not passing judgment, just saying I'm finding it difficult to understand why so many of you would get comfort from hearing from the person that inflicted this on you.
Stephen, this was a recent incident I was involved in. It wasn't when before you and I were born. This was recent.
Okay.
And I would just like to see this man or woman, whomever inflicted this on me and my family, and say, why? Look at me. Look at me. Look at my wee children and see the harm you've done.
But would that not add to the trauma if they were some type of waster that didn't care?
I don't think there's a rock that wouldn't care if they saw how I was living my life now. But I'm not a victim, Stephen. I'm a survivor, and I'm very particular about that label.
You find it tough surviving, though, aren't you?
Yes, I do. I find it very tough. But I'm not going to let someone who just chose to actively attempt to murder me ruin my life and that of my children. I'm totally medicated, Stephen. I can't sleep without being medicated. I live day to day on medication for my nerves, but I'm still surviving day to day with my heart pure.
My goodness, a very strong way to end the programme today from you. So thank you very, very much indeed.